Let it be continually a praise in our mouth about your greatness, because you are going to continue to be great. You never change, Lord. You never change. Our conditions, our feelings may change, but you never change, oh God. And this word never changes, and it's great. Hallelujah. Great above all others. Yes, you are, God. You are great above all others. Wonderful presence of God that we are feeling today. Where you are, where we are, the blessing and the touch of the presence of God. I want you to have a prayer in your heart. And that is this: to hear and receive a word of help and a word of hope from the Lord God Almighty today. In fact, I want us just to go ahead and pray that prayer right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your presence and for your care to us. Yes, you bless us in services like this, but you do not limit yourself or your time to just these particular times, but you care and you comfort and you bless and you help and you encourage and you strengthen every moment of every day. And we thank you for that. And I pray that you would speak that word to us today of help and hope. All of that word that is needed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Romans chapter 15. And then we'll also read from the first chapter of 1 Peter. First Romans 15, then 1 Peter chapter 1. In the 15th chapter of Romans and the 12th verse, he refers back to a prophecy from Isaiah that there would be a root of Jesse, and that that root would rise. Roots are down low. But when this root would begin to come forth, it would rise to a place of reigning and rulership over the Gentiles or over the entire world. In him shall the Gentiles or the world trust. That word trust is the same word that is translated hope throughout other places in the New Testament. And then Paul does use that word in the very next verse. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And that's going to happen today. As you trust him, that you may abound or you may overflow in hope through or by way of the power of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit. And then Peter wrote 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively or a living hope, because of or by way of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That hope includes an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, and it's in heaven, but it's reserved in heaven. It has our names on it. This great inheritance that we have been promised and that we can hope for. And so I want to preach for the next few moments with that word and on that theme, hope. God bless you, and if you've been standing for the word of the Lord, you may be seated. The word of God that we have just read from is full of hope. In fact, that word is found nearly 100 times in both the Old and the New Testaments. Over 200 total times. And so the theme of hope is a theme of God's. In fact, God is a God of hope. Various references we could go to, but Joel chapter 3, and in the midst of verse 16, he says, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. If you are one of God's children, there is hope for you. And I would also quickly add, you are his child by creation, if not as yet by salvation. So he is your hope. The Almighty God that we've been worshiping here today, Jesus Christ, is our hope. And he is why we have hope. And so that belies the idea that things cannot get better. As long as you have hope, there is the possibility that things will not only change, but they will change for the better. And then when you think about not only the Creator, but we creatures who have been made in the image of God, we are creatures of hope. For instance, we can't stop wishing. You may have even used a phrase this week that had that word in it. Oh, I wish. Some of us are four-leaf clover collectors. Some wish on the evening star. Stories are told. We understand they're fictional and parables about genies coming out of a bottle to grant three wishes. Or even after Thanksgiving or some other turkey dinner, a couple of people may grab the ends of a wishbone from the turkey and break it. And whoever gets the longer piece, supposedly they get their wish. I would quickly add, by the way, the bone didn't provide too much luck for the turkey or do him too much good. We are creatures of hope. God is a God of hope, and we are created to have hope. And so if hope has tried to escape you, just know this and claim this. Your God is a God of hope, and he created you to be a hoper. We can either wear our hurts or we can wear our hopes. And we're going to wear and possess our hopes. Now the word that is used, hope, especially in the New Testament, literally means to expect, or to have an expectation of something, or to have confidence that something can be, or something can or will happen. It means, in a sense, to trust, or to anticipate. And usually when we talk about the word hope and anticipation, link anticipation with it, it's usually with a joy or a happiness or a pleasure that we look forward to something that we believe and hope that shall come to pass. One lady described biblical hope this way. She was focusing on how to define biblical hope. She said it's the absolute confidence in something that you haven't seen yet or received, but you're absolutely confident that whatever God has said is going to come to pass. The key phrase is, whatever God has said. We can put our hopes in a lot of things that are based on perhaps our own wishes, our own thoughts. And those are not altogether bad. But when it comes to having absolute confidence, we can have that in whatever God has said. And he said a whole lot in this scripture. And then along with that, he has spoken to us by his Spirit through prayer or through ministry. Hope is such a blessing to these created us as humanity, these created beings. Someone made a list of what hope does and what it is. And they simply said, hope shines brightest when the hour is darkest. Hope energizes when there is weariness and tiredness. Hope sweetens when we're tasting bitterness. Hope sings when the music and melodies are gone. Hope believes when evidence is eliminated. One writer said, hope is being able to dance when there is no musical accompaniment. Hope believes when all the evidence is gone. It listens for answers when nobody's speaking. It climbs over obstacles when nobody is there to help them over the obstacle. Hope dares to give when nobody else is sharing. Hope reaches for answers when nobody's even asking. Hope presses toward victory when there are overwhelming odds and even nobody is encouraging. Our world is a world that is full of hopelessness. Our world is not completely void of hope. I'm not going to paint that picture today because it would not be an apt and true picture. But there is a scarcity of viable, reliable hope. Hopeless is a word that rings with defeat. I even hesitate to say it because I feel the negative aspect of it. Hopeless means it's over. There's nothing left to live for. No joy to be found anywhere. No peace for our tomorrows. But hope is in our midst because God is in our midst. Hope has been threatened even during this crisis time. It's threatened whenever there is a crisis, and we have been walking through this very recent and definite crisis. Your situation might look hopeless like Noah's did in the midst of the flood. They obediently got on board that ark, but then there was 40 days, day and night of rain. They could have been thinking, will it ever stop? Sometimes we are thinking and feeling, will these problems, job or family problems, problems because of issues that our parents, our children might have, financial issues or health issues, will those problems ever stop? And then when the rain did stop, day after day, there was still no sight of land. Hopes raised a little bit when the rain stopped, but then it's days on end. They floated for approximately 5 months. We've been in this pandemic a couple of months. But for 5 months, they floated on those waters. Anybody been floating on your flood for 5 months or 6 months or 3 months or 2 years? But all of a sudden, there was a scrape and a shifting, maybe even a jarring, coming to a stop. And Noah thinks, solid ground. The waters are receding. Sometimes the bumps and the shifts and the jarring and the sudden stops and changes that we all encounter are an indication hope's on the way. Your sickness is not calling for hopelessness. It's calling for the hope of a healer and to trust the one. If he doesn't take away the sickness, he is going to see you through the sickness. That's the kind of a God of hope that we have today. God had let that ark stop. He had to let it stop and rest somewhere. And the jarring didn't mean trouble. It meant escape eventually. Our jarring may not mean, and I feel like I am preaching to people in particular, that there has been a stoppage or there has been a jarring in your life because of some of the problems that I may have referenced earlier or other types of problems. It does not always mean more trouble, but it can mean more hope. Let God use the jarring stop that may have occurred in your life to work something in your life and work that situation out according to His will. And then Brother Noah reaches and sends for hope. He was hoping. And it's evident when he sends a raven and he sends a dove. But both of them return. Not a leaf of hope in their beaks. We pray, we send up ravens of prayer, doves of prayer, we send up our faith, we send up our hope, but nothing in return, so we think. But the waters were receding. God was in control. He had controlled those fountains of the deep that had broken up. He was in control of the heavens that had opened up, and He remained in control of every wave and every ripple of water that was on those floods. And then a week later, Noah persistently, not giving up, sends the dove again. And this time, according to Genesis 8 and 11, When the dove returned in the evening, the day was closing out. It looked like there wasn't going to be any more hope on that day. There in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. That little olive sprig was more than foliage. It represented hope. It represented a great hope to Noah and his family. It was proof to God. It's all Noah needed. God's working. His purposes are going to come to pass. All is not going to be washed away. Noah's olive leaf reminds us that the world's floodwaters, the trials, the setbacks, the disappointments that may have you and your family awash, they do eventually subside. And before they do, and while they are, and after they have, God is still a God of hope, and He is in control. The dove, hallelujah, is one of God's symbols of His Spirit. And so I just encourage you today. In fact, I'm going to use another word. I want to instruct you today. Trust the Spirit. Let Him bring hope back to your life and your situation. You can be saved. You can repent and be forgiven of your sins. You can be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and every sin washed away and the slate made clean. And I believe I'm preaching to people who have already repented at one point and already have been baptized in Jesus' name. And maybe you have not as yet received the Spirit, or maybe you have received it, but it's gone down in your life. I want to tell you, the Spirit, the dove, can bring back hope into your situation. Don't you dare give up. There is room on this ark of safety for every soul. So pray that the Spirit bring you hope. Let the mama, daddy, parent, loved one that's praying for somebody, let the Spirit, I feel the dove. Hallelujah. I feel the dove. He is fluttering in our lives and in our midst right now. Pray. Let's pray together. If somebody says, let's pray together, go for it. That's the dove bringing back an olive leaf of hope. Read the scripture. I want to encourage you. Listen close as it is taught. Listen close as it is preached. Pay attention to His word in any and every venue that you have the opportunity. The Spirit has an olive leaf of hope with it. And Noah, that's all he got, just a leaf. He didn't need the whole tree. He didn't need a branch of leaves or a large limb. All God gave him was a leaf. All God gives just enough. And if the whole situation works out, please let us know and we're going to rejoice with you. But if it works out incrementally, if there's some healing and then there's more healing, and if there's one job that leads to a better job, we're going to rejoice with you, because we don't need the whole tree. Just an olive leaf of hope is all that, oh my Lord, He's there. He is with you. He's helping you. He is your hope. I'm glad He doesn't just give hope. He is hope. Hope. We need it. We need it. We need it. I read the story of a little boy. And little children can be great teachers, can't they? And he was standing at the foot of the up escalator in a big department store. And he was watching the handrail as it moved. He never took his eyes off the handrail. The escalator rolled upward in front of him. Finally, a salesperson wanting to help, thinking the little boy may have been lost, asking, "Are you lost?" And the little guy responded, he said, "Nope. I'm just waiting for my chewing gum to come back around." He was hoping. If you've lost something on the ride of life, be as determined as that little boy was, waiting for his gum to come back around. Stand firm. Hear it, somebody. Be patient. Whew. Personal testimony, guilty as charged, trying to work things out. We had a little rearrangement of some furniture here today, and I came in, first thing I did, I started straightening, and what I didn't know, they had positioned it for a better camera angle. We like to try to work things out, but be patient. Keep trusting God. Keep believing God. Weary traveler, keep serving God. It's not in vain. Keep encouraging others to do the very same thing. There's hope, and God wants you to know there is hope. The world says no hope. Without Jesus, no hope. But with Jesus, you can know hope. You can have an observation. You can have an experience. You can know hope. You can experience it. Not only know that it's there in the dictionary, and not only know that it's here in our Bibles and we're thankful that it is, but know it by living it out, knowing it by experiencing. That's where we are when Jesus Christ is in us and with us. You can have hope in His love. You can have hope in His grace. You can have hope in His salvation. I've heard people say, I don't know if I've done too much or gone too far. You can have hope. This message is nothing more than the Spirit bringing you a little olive branch of hope. You can trust His salvation. You can have hope in His keeping power. You may not know what you're going to face, or maybe you know some of the things that look like you're going to face, and you don't know how you're going to face them. You can have hope in His keeping power. He's going to keep His promises, both that apply to this life, He's going to see us through it, and He has made us promises that He's going to keep about eternal life in heaven. Hope in Jesus simply means it may look like the end of the road, but we serve a God of hope that can carve out a new road. You may be looking like I'm at the end of this road. It's a dead end. But we serve the one that says, I know another path. I know another way. He can do what only He can do. So we've got a choice today. We can either have N-O, no hope, or we can have K-N-O-W. We can know hope. And along with your hope, hear me now, your faith is necessary and so important. This is where we get to live it out, both today and in the coming days. Your faith is important. Faith and hope are not exactly, they're related, but they're not exactly the same things, but they do work in tandem. Hope is faith waiting for tomorrow. Hope sets the goal, and faith goes after it and achieves it. Hope says, let's go to prayer. And faith starts praying the prayer of faith. Hope sees it in the Word of God, sees the promise written, and latches a hold on that word. Faith applies it and brings it to bear in our thinking and in our actions. Hope alone does not change our circumstances. It takes faith to release the power of God. It takes that dove to release the power of the Spirit to change our circumstances. Hope will keep us alive until things change. So it's necessary to bring faith to bear in our circumstances. And if not, if all we do is live in hope, our circumstances will never change. Hope and faith are working together. In order to really walk by faith, you have to have hope. Now, faith is the substance. The substance of what? Of things hoped for. You can't take hope and pay a bill. But it will help to hold you until the provision comes. You can't take hope and it won't get you a job. But it will keep you stable and it will keep you secure until employment opens up. Hope won't put food on the table, but it will keep you steady until the provision arrives. Hope in and of itself, according to this verse, has no substance. But faith added to the substance brings about the victory that is needed. You can receive whatever you need from God. Let that hope live, and then let faith grasp that hope and apply it and take it in prayer or whatever else the Lord has directed some folks right during this message as to actions that you need to take. Maybe faith, maybe hope has been stirred, and maybe hope has risen to the surface of the floodwaters right now. But God will speak to you about the faith that you will need. Go ahead and pray about it. Go ahead and fast that day about it. I'm going to tell you, those things work. Prayer and fasting and reading the Word of God, and you read that Word and it comes alive, and you say, I'm going to latch hold of that Word. I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep seeking. I'm going to keep knocking. It's more than just pages, words on pages and pages in a book. They are truths. They are promises. They are what will help to bring the victory to pass. And we do have hope. Because when we have God, we have His Word, we have His promises, we have His power, we have hope. Some folks have admitted to this. If they're reading a pretty good book and there's some mystery to it, they can't take it any longer. And whenever the suspense gets too much, they go to the back of the book and read the last couple of pages to see what the outcome is. Now, all they needed was just to know everything's going to be okay. Knowing the end gives courage that sometimes you need in the middle. Now, I don't know how many of you do that, but we kind of do that in our life story. We want that same assurance. Hope feels scary. I'm doing my best to make it sound as good as it is. But hope, when we're experiencing it and we're in the messy middle of something, hope is scary. Because there's the absence of a future that is known are guarded, and we like to know, and we like to have guarantees. We just want to know everything's going to be okay in the end before I walk through the messy middle. Unknowns and possibilities of more disappointments. If we only focus on the reality that is happening around us, and we can't ignore it, but if we only focus on that, without including God and without including our hope in Him and the hope that He is in the mix, that will leave us demanding some kind of assurance before we're willing to take the opportunity or the chance of hope. It is difficult to hold hope and trust before we know the outcome, before we know that everything is going to be okay. But if there is a hope that you are secure in, if there's any hope in this world that you are secure in, it's the hope who is the hope of all the nations and the hope of the Gentiles that Paul wrote about and the hope of this whole world, the church and every other. Sometimes it's hard to find courage in the middle when we haven't yet read the end. Perhaps you're in a season in which it is easier for the feelings to feel stronger than the faith. I don't feel like I'm worthy. I don't feel like I could ever come back to God. I don't feel like this situation can be worked out in the family. I don't feel like, and granted, you may have some pieces of evidence. In other words, the way some things have lived out and played out, and they're saying it's not going to work out. But I feel the unseen in this service today. I feel the unseen hope with you. I believe you sense it. We can't always see it, but faith is the substance. There is something to it. The word substance is evidence. Faith is the evidence of the things that you are hoping far. And so that season of feelings being stronger than faith, walking forward with what we know to be true in spite of how we're feeling, that is terrifying. I'm just going to be real honest with you. None of us are superhuman. I don't claim, you don't claim to be. We walk forward with this word that we know is true. And we're still human and we still have our human senses. And so fear tries to knock on the door. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is overcoming that fear, that terrifying fear. But do remember this. We've read the back of the book. We've read the end of the story. And I'm not only talking about the book of Revelation today, our eternity in heaven. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But we know he said, all things work together. I know the end of the story. Sometimes it's hard to see it. It's hard to believe it when you're going through a family dilemma or a broken marriage or a broken family or there's some sickness in your body. Sometimes it's hard to see it. But he said, all things work together for good to those who love him and who are the called according to his purpose. This won't work out according to my purpose or your purpose, but it will work out according to his purpose. I want you to let the Spirit of the Lord, he's already talking to you and helping you and entering into the situation. He has already entered in. He didn't just come in. He's already been there. But I feel like we're making room for God to work here today. In just a moment, Pastor Brad is going to come and lead us in prayer. We do. I know the end of the story for this life as long as it goes. For you and I, all things are going to work together. And then the ultimate end of the story. Yep. Woo, I feel that hope. I feel rapture hope here today. Paul wrote to Titus and he said, looking for that blessed hope. Woo, hallelujah. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It may seem like a fairy tale. It may seem like an escape story to others, and that may be how they view it. But not to the child of hope, not to the child of God, not the creature that's been created to have hope. We look for, we expect, we anticipate that blessed hope. He didn't just say hope. He said blessed hope. The glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior. Keep praising him as a great God right till he comes. And then Paul wrote in another place, if in this life only we have hope in Christ. It's good to have hope in this life in him. But he said, we would be of all men most miserable. One translation said we would be of all men most pitied. Why do you say that, Paul? It's a blessing to have hope in this life. He's saying, yeah, but if this was the end of it, that would be a pity. But verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead, and he became the first fruits. In other words, the first one, meaning there's going to be other ones that follow. Follow what? Follow resurrection. Follow rapture. Follow to eternal life. But now, because he was resurrected, we have that same hope also. Future resurrection, future rapture, future eternal life. I want us together just to thank the Lord for the hope that he is and the hope that he gives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh,
why don't we take a moment right now and thank him right where you are. We just thank him for the hope that we have today. We don't take it for granted this morning, Lord, that we have a hope that transcends this life. I thank you that we can walk through this life with it. But I thank you it goes beyond even that, Lord, that our hope is not founded in anything temporal, in anything man-made, but our hope is founded in an eternal and all-powerful and almighty God. We thank you for the hope that we have this morning, Lord, and we recognize it today in this service. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. I want this prayer to be twofold here as we close. First, I'd like us to pray for members of this church family who are feeling depleted or empty of hope today. In pre-service prayer, I knew what our pastor was preaching. I just felt this direction that there are individuals that feel like they have lost hope, that they feel like they are hopeless today. And I believe God has sent our pastor with a word to tell you, you can have hope today. You can live and walk in. Your hope can be completely restored. And I know circumstances may tell you otherwise, but you can have hope today. I want us to pray as a body. Maybe you're full of hope right now. Would you pray that someone else would have and experience the same hope? Oh God, you did not intend for us to live in a state or a condition of hopelessness, but today we pray over members of this body that have had their hope depleted or robbed or taken from them by circumstance or storm or sickness today. We know and believe that your hope can be instilled and inspired in their life, that they can leave this live stream service this morning full of hope once again. I pray it begin to rise in them right where they are today. Oh, that they would feel that hope that they had once lost, or that hope that's been diminished. In the name of Jesus, we pray a word of hope over our church family and the body. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you just to be sensitive. If you feel like maybe through conversation or through the prompting of the Holy Ghost, like a brother or a sister, maybe you've talked to them and you've just felt like they've been discouraged, why don't you reach out to them? Let them know that there's hope today. And also, the second prayer we want to pray is for our world. Our world needs hope. Right now, especially in a season in which all the things, or many of the things we put our hope in, have been shaken and some completely taken away. Some put their hope in government or in the market or in programs or in technology. And all those things have been shaken. We need to put our hope back in a God who is deserving of it. I wonder if you would pray, maybe just pray over your neighborhood or your city, or just if you'd like to include this entire world, be led of the Holy Ghost and pray that someone would get their eyes fixed again, or maybe for the first time, on the God of our hope. Would you pray right now in the name of Jesus? Lift your voices, church, and let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have, but we are not content to keep it to ourselves. We want our world to know this hope. We don't want them to live without it, God. We don't want them to live in hopelessness, in a perpetual state of hopelessness. Lord, we're praying that their eyes would be open, that faith, Lord, would be instilled in their lives, that hope would rise again in their life, Lord, or for the first time, that they would hear the name of Jesus and begin to put their faith and their trust in it, maybe even call on that name and feel hope rising in their heart and life. We pray hope in the city of St. Louis, Lord. We pray hope in the middle of brokenness. We pray hope in the middle of darkness. We pray hope into our world, into our neighborhoods, into our unsaved loved ones, into our prodigals, that they would see and feel hope again, that it can be different, that they can be restored. In the name of Jesus, we pray hope right now into this world. In Jesus' name, in your name, as long as we have our God, we have hope. In fact, we heard just this week testimony. Many of you heard Sister Mary Brewer, her father had contracted COVID-19. He was in a very critical condition. As far as I'm told, the doctors had pretty much given up hope. They allowed family members to come in, or at least his wife to come in and say their goodbyes. He has made a miraculous turnaround. In fact, this week they said they weaned him off oxygen. He even took a lap in a car around his neighborhood. He's doing normal things. We thank God that we still have hope today, and that no pandemic or virus has taken away our hope. But would you thank him right now again for the hope that we have? We thank you, Jesus. This hope isn't going anywhere. This hope is not diminishing. This hope still stands. And we put our trust and our hope in you. We thank you this morning that we have hope. We honor you today. Thank you, Lord, for the message of hope. And thank you to our pastor for preaching his heart. And again, a message that gives us hope.